We are very glad you're here today. We have guests with us, and that's already been mentioned, but we say it again just because we're glad you're here today. We thank you for joining us and being here, and some of you have been here before, and some of you maybe for the very first time. So thank you for joining our assembly this morning and worshiping God for just a few moments as we have together. Men, as in males, are notoriously known for being poor listeners. And all the wives under their breath said, Amen. We as men are famous, or maybe the word should be infamous, when it comes to refusing to ask for directions, preferring instead to take the scenic route. Because male members of this species, we can be very stubbornly independent. We like to make our own way and carve our own path. And we have decided that somehow it is dishonorable to our gender to lean upon the wisdom and the advice of others. Lou Holtz was not only a football coach, but a very colorful speaker, in which he said one time, he said, "My players always follow my advice unless it conflicts with what they want to do." Well, that's true in a lot of cases. Solomon said this, "Fools think they don't need any advice, but the wise will listen." That's in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. So I want to give you some advice this morning. I want to give you some free advice. You ready? Here it is. Here's some advice. When you're depressed, listen to country music, because the people in those songs will always be more messed up than you are. There's some advice. Always buy your parents nice gifts. After all, you don't want to inherit junk. Here's some advice. If you're having trouble opening a childproof bottle, give it to a child. Here's some advice. Don't bother naming your cat. He's not going to come when you call him anyway. There's some advice. There's a lot of advice. If advice were gold, we would all be millionaires. And when it comes to advice, that's the one thing in the world. There's no shortage of that. But the problem with advice is, good advice is like medicine. It doesn't work unless you take it. And the problem with men sometimes, males, is that pride gets in the way, or stubbornness gets in the way, or bullheadedness gets in the way, or pigheadedness gets in the way. And we don't listen. Strong men tend to be bound and determined to do their own thing in their own way, even if it's the wrong way, or even if it puts their lives at great risk. And Samson is the perfect example of that. Samson and his pretty little Philistine girl were a disaster. And disaster was written all over this relationship. It was a brainless, physical-only attraction that scared his parents to death. You see, the first thing I want to say with you about that is, as I look at the life of Samson, Samson wouldn't listen. Samson wouldn't listen. I remind you again of what Judges chapter 14, verse 2 says. He came back and told his father and his mother, "I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Therefore, get her for me as a wife." And they tried to give him some advice in verse 3. They tried to point him toward the Israelites, toward their own people. But Samson said to his father at the end of verse 3, "Get her for me, for she looks good to me." That's all that mattered to him. They tried to give him some advice, and two times he blows them off with, get her for me, because she's pretty. That's who I want. Remember when you were a teenager? Remember when you were 20-something, perhaps? And you just thought you didn't need input from old people, like your parents? Remember when we all lived in the blissful land of know-it-all? And then you woke up one day and realized, not only did you not have the answers, you didn't even understand the questions. When I read about Samson, I don't think Samson ever woke up. I don't think he ever connected those dots and ever figured that out. Here's a thought, maybe, you haven't thought about. Did his parents spoil him? I don't know the answer to that question. I know that Samson was their first, and as far as I know, their only child. So as I'm reading through the life of Samson, the thought came into my mind, did his mom and dad spoil him? I mean, they knew God was calling their son to do some amazing things, like save the Israelites from the Philistines who have been dominating them for 40 years. So from day number one, Samson would have been their pride and their joy. And so my question is, did they dote on him? Did they make sure their special son had the best of everything? I don't know about that. I have no idea. But I do know this, as a young man, he was pretty cocky. Samson was pretty self-absorbed. So it really doesn't matter how he got that way. By the time we look into his life, he was that way. And that's what happens when strong men close their mind to the advice of others. But that's the story of Samson from beginning to end. Look in your notes this morning. Look in your notes. Number one, Samson would not change even when he was wrong. Samson would not change even when he was wrong. Several years ago, I was in Montreal. Me and a friend had traveling up to northern Maine, as far north in Maine as you could go, because there was a military base there, a SAC base for B-52s, and there were some Christians stationed up there. And so we went up there to spend a week and tried to encourage those folks and that sort of thing. But we figured out we could go through Canada and get there just as fast. And so we drove up to Montreal. And one of the reasons we drove to Montreal was because I wanted to go to a baseball game. I wanted to go to the old Olympic Stadium and see the Montreal Expos. Kind of checked that one off my list. And so we did that. And so we're driving to Olympic Stadium to see the Montreal Expos game. And I'm going down a road in Montreal, Quebec. And there's four lanes on this road, and as I kind of turned a kind of a gradual corner, I meet suddenly four lanes of traffic coming at me. And then I realized I was going one way on a one-way boulevard, but I was going the wrong way on a one-way boulevard. And I tell you what, I could have said, hey, all those other cars, they need to turn around. But what I said instead was, uh-oh. And what all those other people were saying to me was more than that, although it was in French and I couldn't understand. But Samson's life was just like that. Samson's just going the wrong way when everybody else is going another way. And instead of figuring out he was going the wrong way, he acted like a spoiled brat. Go get her for me, he said to his mom and his dad. Nobody's going to tell him what to do. So that's the first thing that strikes me. Samson would not change even when he was wrong. Secondly, Samson wanted pleasure more than he wanted wisdom. I think if Samson could be suddenly here today, he would be the quintessential fun guy to have around. I mean, Samson could play Wii, he could play PlayStation, he could play Xbox 360 all at the same time. I mean, that's the kind of man he was. But he really wasn't a man. He stayed a boy. God had called him to become a man. Samson stayed a boy. His eyes roamed around for pleasure when his ears should have been open to wisdom. I found a verse in Proverbs 17 and verse 24 that I think really describes Samson. Proverbs 17, verse 24, wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding. But listen to this. But the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. That was Samson. Samson was always looking around for a good time and not listening to the advice and the wisdom of others. And third, Samson wouldn't listen to God. Samson wouldn't listen to God. Everything he had, including this amazing strength, God gave to him. But what's sad is the life story of Samson was all about Samson instead of being about the God who gave him everything that he had. In Psalm 111 and verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That's where wisdom starts. But here's what I learned about Samson. I learned that strong men need to seek good advice. Strong men need to seek good advice. If you know anything about the game of golf in the present day, you understand that Tiger Woods is making a comeback. And setting his personal life aside, the fact that he's making a comeback is probably really good for the game of golf. In the book, The Big Miss by Hank Haney, it's a great read. Hank Haney was Tiger Woods' coach for a long time. And he writes in that book, The Big Miss, he writes about coaching Tiger Woods. And he says part of the problem was the frustration of being a coach for Tiger Woods is that his focus many days was elsewhere. Some of you may not know this, but he talks about how Tiger Woods got fascinated with jumping out of airplanes with Army Rangers. You want to know why he got hurt? And he writes about the frustration of trying to coach this golfer who's just his vision just went elsewhere. And I read that book and I thought, that's Samson. There's Samson. But through the years, Tiger Woods has had a lot of different coaches. So I want to ask you a question. Why would a guy like Tiger Woods even need a coach? In fact, Tiger Woods is a better golfer than any of the coaches who coach him. So why does he need a coach? Because he understands, like other athletes in his sport would understand, the importance of having another set of eyes to see what he may be missing. There may be a flaw in his stance. There may be a flaw in his grip. There may be a flaw in his swing that he doesn't see, but a coach standing over here and watching him can see that. Woodrow Wilson was the 28th president of the United States. And after Wilson was elected president, he asked his advisors, "Who is the most informed, intelligent member of the other party?" And one of his staffers said, "Why would you want to know that?" And President Wilson replied and said, "Because I want him on my cabinet. Because he can see what the rest of us might miss." That's wisdom. Go to Exodus 18. Moses figured that out. In Exodus, the 18th chapter, beginning in verse 17. Exodus 18, beginning in verse 17. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing you are doing is not good." Well, what's he doing? Well, Moses became the judge of all of the people. And he was trying to be the judge of everybody all the time. And it was wearing him out. And his father-in-law standing there, and he's kind of watching all of this. In fact, in verse 18, he says, "You will surely wear out, both yourself and these people who are with you. For the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me." Now, who's telling him this? His father-in-law. Does that always work well? No, not always. "Now listen to me. I will give you some counsel." This older man, he says to Moses, "Let me give you some advice. Why don't you," verse 19, "why don't you be the people's representative before God and you bring the disputes to God and then teach them the statutes, laws, and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. And verse 21, "Select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, of tens. Let them judge the people at the times, and let it be that every major dispute they bring to you, but every minor dispute they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. And if you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people will be able to go to their place in peace. So here is Moses' father-in-law giving his son-in-law some advice. You want to know what was great about Moses, verse 24? You want to know what made Moses so valuable to God, verse 24? So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he had said. He didn't have to do that. He could have blown off his father-in-law. He could have placated. He could have patronized his father-in-law. He could have done all of that. But he didn't. Sometimes we can become, for example, we can become so engrossed in our work, whatever it is, that we become blind to what we're missing. Or maybe we're heading down a life path in which we are sort of numb to the consequences, which may not be good, and so we need another set of eyes. Or maybe there's a certain area of life where we have knowledge, but we don't have any experience, and so we miss the value of somebody else's insight. That's Samson's problem. As a young man, Samson thought he knew more than he really did, and it cost him. But the biggest mistake he ever made was, in spite of everything that God had done for him, he refused to listen. Which brings me to the final point, and that is, strong men not just seek good advice, strong men seek good advisors. Good advice only comes from good advisors. For example, would you take financial advice from somebody who is irresponsible with their money? Somebody who's drowning in debt? Somebody who cannot manage their own financial means? You going to take advice from that person? Are you going to take employment advice from somebody who can't keep a job? Every time you turn around, they get fired. They just job hop from one to the other. But then that person wants to give you some advice when it comes to employment. Or advice about raising kids when they don't have any, or raising teens, or whatever the case may be. Sometimes experience counts a lot. But throughout your life, I want to tell you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are going to try to give you advice. And so what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to sift through all of that and decide who to listen to. And some advice, considering the source, is good advice. You need to take it. Some advice, considering the source, may not be so good and you don't need to take it. But you're the one going to have to figure all that out. Samson never bothered to figure that out. For example, Manly, you like to play golf a little bit. Would you go to Tracy Harris for advice on the game of golf? That's a simple question. That's a yes or no question. That's not a trick question. Would you go to that man sitting in front of you for advice on how to play golf? Not on your life. Not on your life. Now, I'll tell you what. If I was interested in having an investment property and I didn't know what to do about that or have much knowledge about that, then I'll tell you what, I might go to that man and get some advice on that particular area of life because he knows a lot more about that than do I. Let's say, for example, that I want to remodel the bathroom in my house, and so I call Jason Page. I said, hey, come over and eat supper with us. I want to show you something. And so Jason's kind. He comes over. It's a free meal. And so he shows up and got some strawberry pie that Miss Joyce made, and so Jason comes over and he's happy about that. So after the meal, I take him into the bathroom and I go, hey, we're thinking about doing some things here, and this is kind of getting rotted out over here, and we're thinking about replacing that and kind of get some ideas. Maybe you can put together some drawings for us. What do you think he's going to say? What would you say? What he's going to say is, give me another piece of pie and I'm out of here, because he doesn't know anything about remodeling a bathroom. At least I don't think he does. He might say, you know, you might want to call Eddie Kerr and Eddie Kerr to come over and talk about it. Because Brother Kerr knows more about this than I do. It's kind of some things he does. Or I go to Brother Kerr and I say, you know, I'm having car trouble. I need you to come listen to the sound my car's making. He says, I don't know anything about cars. He says, why don't you call Carl? Carl, listen, he can probably figure that out. Let me tell you, we go around the room this morning and every one of us has some information, has some knowledge, has some experience, has some expertise in all kinds of different areas. You don't go to everybody for everything. And so when you go to somebody who has some experience and expertise in a certain area, then when they give you some advice, then maybe you need to listen to them. Samson never did. Because Samson thought he already knew everything. So let me leave you with these five things to think about. Number one, who should I listen to? When we talk about strong men seek good advisors, who should I listen to? Number one, listen to people who disagree with you. Listen to people who disagree with you. Now, some people struggle with that because they automatically go to mad whenever somebody disagrees with them. And you see that on television all the time. If you ever watch the news, they start yelling at one another and all that kind of thing. There are great friends that I have that I disagree with politically. There's some great friends that I have that I disagree with when it comes to the issues of the day. But I tell you what, we can disagree without being disagreeable. There's a big difference. Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, let your speech always be seasoned with grace. Grace. Somebody said the world is full of people who achieved great success without doing things your way. That's true. Moses learned that. He found a better way and he listened. Samson never learned that. Secondly, listen to people who love you, who have no motive other than the fact that they care about you. Now, back to when we were teenagers, we tend to tune out our parents. If our parents tell us something, we just tune them out. But if our coach tells us the same thing, oh man, you know, that's a big deal. We hang on every word. Why is that? Because familiarity breeds blank. Well, it may not always breed contempt when it comes to your parents, but it does breed discourtesy. And you see that with spouses sometimes. Spouses, husbands and wives, sometimes are ill-tempered with each other, and then they turn around and they're just as sweet as syrup with everybody else. Why is that? One husband said to his wife, how come you're so nice to him and so mean to me? And she replies back, because it's not his snoring that keeps me up all night. Well, there you go. There you go. Here it is. Listen to people who love you. Not just those who say they do. Listen to people who really do. Who really do. Third, listen to people who achieve success in the area you're looking for. Listen to people who have achieved some success in the area you're looking for. Would you take lessons on anger management from former Indiana basketball coach Bobby Knight? Probably not. But if you want to learn how to play man-to-man defense, probably would. Here were some people in Samson's life who had his best interest at heart, who knew a little about marriage because they've been married a while and they're concerned about their son and they're trying to point him as best they can in the direction of the law of Moses. And they talked to him about whom he should be marrying, and he just won't listen. He refused to listen. Fourth, listen to people who demonstrate wisdom in their life. Sometimes wisdom comes wrapped in odd-looking packages. The wise man is not always the alphabet guy. You know, the C and the E and the O and the P and the H and the D. Where's Mark Job? What did you say PhD stands for? Post hole digger. That's right. I want to tell you, that man can dig a post hole. I've seen it. I highly recommend it. Sometimes wisdom comes from people that you least expect it. And it may not always be the super educated person. It may be the person who has a lot of wisdom because he or she has experience. And number five, listen to people who know and live the book. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, the Lord grants wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. When you find somebody who listens to the Scriptures, who not only have studied it, but they've built their life on it, these people have some insight. Listen to what they have to say. On the other hand, Proverbs 3 and verse 7 says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. And that's what Samson's problem. Oh, that Samson had followed that advice instead of reading his own press clippings. It would have turned out a lot different. You think there are some Samson lessons we need to learn today? I think there's a whole lot of Samson lessons we need to learn today. We sing the song of invitation. If you're not a Christian, the best advice anybody can ever give you is to come to terms with who Jesus is and then to make the decision to obey the gospel. We talked about in my Bible class this morning with the middle school, if you're drowning and somebody throws you a rope, you don't have to take it. You don't have to take it. But it sure would be wise to take it. And God throws all of us a rope. And it's up to us to take it. He's not going to force us to obey Him. He's not going to force us to confess His Son and live for Him. But I tell you what, the advice is pretty clear. Your life would be different and so much better, not only now, but forever, if you would. If we can help you in any way,